It was not anything planned for Robert Wilson to stand before you this morning, but you heard what happened with the pastor's wife, and so I happened to be the minute man. And I'll tell you one thing, if the Lord saw it fit for me to be the minute man, I accepted the mission to be the minute man. And I firmly believe by God's grace we all will be blessed, because it's His word. You know, just as I get this invitation to stand here, it didn't drive me any other place but to think of God's church. Why I think of God's church? I believe, church, that we need to be a minuteman person when it comes to our salvation. We need to be ready when Jesus comes, and we need to stay in tune with God 24 hours a day, every tick of the clock. This lady was here last weekend in her daughter's birthday party. She traveled home, and the next call, instead of "I am doing fine, we had a safe trip," was a call that "I am sick, on the verge of death." My good question to you, who is next? Did the Lord give you and I the authority or the ability to know that? No. But He gave us the ability to stay in tune with Him. Because He gave us His Son, who have already sacrificed from Calvary's tree. And because of His sacrifice, He have made it possible for you. And He have also made it possible for me to be able to come before His throne anytime, any place, anywhere, under any circumstances. God is there. I remember I was on a ladder doing, it was a double story building. The house foundation started from the street level and went up in the mountain, so the front of the house was in the back, but facing the yard, but in front of the house, and below it was the street. So in other words, the house was built on a slant. I was on an extension ladder, working on the soffit. And a certain time, I was trying to reach for my, I don't remember if it was my hammer or my tape. I always carry them on my right side. So I kind of make sure that I'm holding those rafters, and I'm making a move to go to my, I cannot look at it because I'm afraid the ladder, I'm trying to stay very still. And I just felt, because the foundation that I had put in the foot of the ladder moved, and the ladder was going. And all I knew was, oh God. That was all. And something said, Wilson, stay on this ladder, stay on until you can jump. And I stayed on that ladder until I saw the possibility of jumping. That's why I'm standing here with you today. So God is ever present, and He is ever waiting for you to say, dear Jesus, oh my God, Lord have mercy, in every shape words do you want to use? God is always there with you and with me. This morning, I know lots of us would really like to see or hear the improvement of what our young people are doing. But I want to thank those of you who would bear with me to listen to my little spooky voice. There is a term when we speak about God's church. We speak about it in many different ways. I do not have two topics, but I'm going to use two terms that can be two topics. The church militant. What do I mean by the church militant? It's God's church. And you know, things are never smooth with God's church. So it's on a battleground. The church triumphant. What do I mean by the church triumphant? It means that that same church that is fighting, that is struggling, the same church will become victorious. That is the church that you and I believe that God have been organizing ever since here on earth. And then we use the term paradise lost. What do we mean by paradise lost? God created the earth. He placed our parents. Anything that was more beautiful than where the Lord placed our parents, it cannot get into our imagination. But sin, through the devil, make paradise became on earth, paradise lost. And then you also heard the term paradise regained. I am very happy that I will be one of them that will witness the regaining of paradise. Because by God's grace, I am planning to be in His glory. I am planning to be in heaven with God. And when the earth will be made new, when Eden will bloom again on earth, Brother Wilson wants to be there. And I don't only want to be there, I will be there. With the authority of Christ and His beautiful promise to everyone that believe, Brother Wilson firmly believe that he will be there. My question is, will you? If you don't plan to be there, church, it's a good thing we have a double door and there's no locks on it. Amen. Yes, sir. And He bring you right back to life. I thank God for you, my brother. God is good, and all the time. One more time. God is good, and all the time. As my brother speak, as I stand here to talk, it gives me that spirit of being in the prison, because that's how we have service. Men talk. what God has done for them, and we share it. And it makes me feel that I am at home, and I know I'm at home. Church, God begins His church in the Garden of Eden. When God created man, Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26, the Bible says, "And God said," let us read it, "Let us make man after our likeness, and let them have dominions over the fishes of the sea and over the fowls of the air." In other words, God created man in His own image and likeness. And He gave man dominion over every other thing that He created. How do I believe that? Because from the first day to the fifth day, everything was created. And God created man on the sixth day. And the man was not left wanting. Everything to sustain man was provided by God before He created them. The only thing that God left behind when He created them was the woman. And the Lord allowed, I believe now, this is my understanding and I stand corrected, but I firmly believe that God allowed Adam to name all the creatures, to see Mr. Lion and Mistress Lion, Mr. Tiger Cat and Mistress Tiger Cat, Mr. Hen and Mistress Hen, and whoever, all the Mr. and Mistresses, but all of them was on four legs. Those that wasn't on four legs, they were still on two, but they were still down there. And when He looked at the birds of the air, everything was flying away. They was too busy to communicate with the man. And the Bible says, "And God saw that man, it was not right for man to be alone." But I believe that God allowed the man to realize that loneliness before He gave him that helpmate. And too often men, we fail to realize that the woman that the Lord placed in your life is not your servant, is not your maid, is no such thing than to be a helpmate, to unite one with one another, to understand the love and mercy of the one that created you. Ladies, because that you was created to be a helpmate, the Lord did not create you to take over. The Lord did not create you for you to be the rod of iron towards the man. So what I am driving at is when God created this earth and put man to live on this earth, He was very, very, very careful to help man to understand that He is a God not of confusion, but a God that stands firm. That is the God that created the earth. And that is the God that started His church with the pair in the Garden of Eden. To every good thing, there is an opposition. And so the devil can break it off. But when the Lord placed the men and the women, the man and the woman in the garden, he said, be fruitful and multiply. Be fruitful and multiply. Do we see a minus sign in that statement? Do we see a divided sign in that statement? What do you see? You see multiplication and addition. So God is in the business of adding to his church. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. It did not work the way the Lord ordered man. You know the story that it failed. In his church before the flood, the Lord looked for his church. He looked out for his church. But his church became so rebellious, they walk away from God. But there was still a faithful few. There was still a faithful few. Let us look at Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 11. Come on, devil, let it go. Hebrews chapter 11. Let us visit verse 4 and 5. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than by which he obtained witness that he was righteous. That he was what, church? He was righteous, God testifying of this gift, and by it he bring death yet speaketh. Can you and I be a righteous person? Yes, through Christ. But can you be a righteous person? The Lord pronounced Abel righteous. Abel was a member of his church. And if you cannot claim righteousness this morning, church, seriously now, if you cannot claim righteousness this morning in the presence of God, you don't worth living. Why should I use such a statement, you don't worth living? Because if you are living to die and lost eternity, then you don't worth living. I have told myself that. Wilson, all the trials and temptations that you have gone through in this world, all the rejections, all the abusiveness and all the things that you have done, you have gone through in this world. And for you to lost God's kingdom, it was better you had never been born. That is why in the beginning of my statement this morning, I assure you that I will be in heaven with God. Yes, I can be a righteous man. The only problem with that is sometimes you feel you are so righteous, you are so perfect, that you forget that God is the creator. Don't you ever miss the point that I am so righteous, we call it self-righteous. That I am so righteous, I am so perfect, That I don't need Brother Harry. I don't need Sister Paul. I don't need nobody because I'm already there. Mistake. Biggest mistake you could ever make. Because God put you and I and that sister and that brother be the caring of each other. When Cain killed Abel, the Lord asked him, where is Cain? What was his answer? Am I my brother's keeper? That is why it is not Cain, the Bible said, was righteous. It was Abel that was righteous. Because Cain think after he killed him, Cain thought that he was so good that he didn't even want to acknowledge the fact, am I my brother's keeper? And do you know what is the problem with our church today? Let me talk straight up to you. You might not want me to come back up here and talk again, but let me talk straight to you, church. You know why we feel that we are not another brother's keeper? Sometimes I don't believe the way you believe. And because I don't believe the way you believe, you condemn me already in your books. Instead of trying to help me to understand, and the two of us will reason together. Come and let us reason together, save the Lord. Instead of we coming together and reason and study the scriptures together and see what the Lord is required of you and I. Instead of we doing that, we take the time to kick him out of society. Only because we don't think he worth to know what I know. Oh, I know what I know because I'm going to heaven. I don't care about him. You make a mistake. After God, I'm going to narrate this thing, okay? I'm going to just... Scripture stands behind every word I speak. And so when the church was going on, the Lord called in the book of Hebrews that you're reading there, there were so many, but I want to speak about Enoch. He walked with God. What he did with God, church? He walked with God. That is why God, you and I could claim righteousness. Because Enoch walked with God. God was not visible on his side, holding his hands for when he is falling to pick. No, that is not, it was not visible. But every moment of his life, everything that he planned for, everything that he did it next to God. Brothers and sisters, when you are walking in tune with God, he never leave you alone. And God saw it was perfect in his plan. This man have been walking so nice and close with me. I cannot allow a stain of sin to continue to discourage him. So I am going to take him home early. And God took What's his name again? And God took Enoch. The Bible says he was not, for God took him. The church keep on going. It came to the flood. Man began to do their own thing. Man continued doing their own thing. God grant them 120 of probation during the time preached of them. There was preaching Noah and many others preach for 120 years. What do I mean by probation? I am working in the prison and I understand more about probation after talking to all those prisoners, most of them. And when you know the court system, you know what's probation? You have to, if you're already in and you come out or you commit a crime or something is wrong, and the government want to make sure they get what they need from you, they put you under probation. And probation, some of them is so tight, you have to report every day. Some of them gives you a little chance, you have to report every week. Some of them give you a chance, you have to report every 2 weeks. Some of them, see, because of your goodness and your good behavior, you report once a month. But you have to report to somebody. In authority. And who is in authority over God's church? Come on, church. It is God that has the authority over his church. And so you and I, daily, have to report to God. He gave the antediluvian world 120 years out of 2,000. He gave them 120 years and he put them on probation. And the probationary time was 120 years. And I'm going to preach to you. I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do to you. And I'm going to do what I tell you I'm going to do. Oh, they did not understand. I know they did not understand. Or maybe they understood, but they plugged the ears. When God says he's going to do church, he is going to do. And he ran water. And I was reading on that again last night. The Lord opened the earth from the bottom. He can do that. He created it. Remember, for all those 2,000 years, they had never seen rain. So they doubt God. They laugh at Noah. They ridicule him. But they didn't realize that the reason there's no rain, the Lord was making the vegetables and everything grow from the midst of the ground. Coming from under. And so the Lord opens the under them. And the water rise from bottom up. Water rise from beneath. And water came down from above. Only it. Don't give up on me. I like to move around. Only eight was saved. Only eight. Only eight was saved. And the spirit of prophecy says that the sons was not all in tune with what the father was doing. But because of their obedience to their father, they stick around in God's church. Many of us don't obey the word of God. Many of us wants to still do our own thing, but we are still here. See what I'm saying? We claim to be God's people in God's church. The eight inside the ark. There was those that was doubting. But because they believed, they were spared. Okay? After the flood, man still became so desperate. I got to hurry up with this thing. Man still became so desperate that they still want to do their own thing. And they forget the promise that God made, I will not destroy this earth anymore by water. They forgot the promise. And they went on to build them a nice city going up to heaven. They're going up to heaven, building their bricks and building their tower. And all of them was united together. You see this Trinity? Are you seeing the strength of unity when they were building the Tower of Babel? They united together. Oh, if only we had this unity in God's church here on earth right this minute, the Lord would have come already. But He is so patient with even those of us that is not willing to follow His precepts. He is still so patient with us. And we take God's patience for granted. And so, the Lord told His angel, took His angels down with Him. The Lord did not have to take the angels down, but He brought them down. And He says, let us go down here. Those men are so willful. And you know the statement that the Lord made? Everything that man laid their heart on to do, they will do it. Anything at all man desire in there to do, it could take them 100 years, it could take them all those years, they will do it. Come back to our government. All the presidents that have gone before, they all tried to put that Medicare thing, that health program together. They was not succeeding. Kennedy and all, they wasn't succeeding. Who is doing it now? It is in the heart of man to do. And unless they succeed what they want to do, they're not going to stop. And the Lord realized if He didn't put a stop at the Tower of Babel, men would go, they would take it up. Today, man is in space. They started that space program at the Tower of Babel. They started it there. But you know, the prophet Joel says, knowledge shall increase. Because of the increase of knowledge today, it is only now man reaching space. Because God cut the program out. That is why we have all different languages, everything around the world. But God never gave up on His church. He never gave up on His church. And so God saw a man named Abraham. And He called him out. And He made a promise to Abraham. Do you know, church, that from a child I have been playing in this Bible. And I have to confess to you that I really saw that text in the scripture from another preacher just about a month ago. And let me tell you something. I have never stopped looking at it. Genesis 15, verses 13. Genesis chapter 15, verses 13. And He said unto Abraham, know of surely, this thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs, and shall serve them, and they shall afflict them for 400 years. Don't mess with this Bible, you hear me? If you did not see it there the first time, keep going, you will find it over here. You will find it over there, because the Bible says to study it here a little, there a little, line upon lines, precepts upon precepts. That is how we study the Bible. And when I saw this verse in there, I almost stopped the preacher because I shouted in the middle of the people's church services going on. I couldn't believe that God had told Abraham that it was going to happen. And didn't his children get there? And didn't they spend 400 years? And if you read the following verse, did not the Egyptians afflict them and use them as slaves? But when the time came, God came to pull his church out of Egypt. But when he pulled his church out of Egypt, I want you to notice that he did not only take the Israelites out. Who did he take? The whosoever wanted to come out. The whosoever. Which we make it fit with John 3:16. He allowed them to come out. But his work is for his church. I want you to be saying that is Israel is supposed to evangelize the Gentiles to bring them to Christ. So when there are Gentiles around, there's nothing wrong with that. As a matter of fact, we're supposed to mingle with them to help them to understand the truth and for they too to have part in the kingdom of God. The lesson was set when God was pulling his people out of Egypt. And in spite of all what the church saw God did for them, the first biggest fear, we know the story, we're not going to go into it all in detail, was this: the soldiers behind them, the Red Sea in front of them, and if that wasn't going to scare you, you wasn't a human being. Because you don't want to die. You don't want to die. So here they are they are scared because the enemy is coming behind them. And then they don't know where to go because the Red Sea is right in front of them. And God speak to Moses. And Moses spoke to God. You had the biggest water walls. You ever seen water stand up on top of each other and it's not ice? Don't play with God. Don't play with God. Whatever the Lord says he will do, he will do. And when the Lord order it to be done, it is going to be done. That's the God I serve. And that's the God I want to introduce to you this morning. The God that do what he says and he do it in time. And so God's church is going on. You have studied one of the most beautiful Sabbath school lessons in your quarter, in the quarter list, this quarter. So I'm not going to go in any details that what the quarterly have already spent. If you have not studied your quarterly, shame on you. Because the following of everything that I would like to say, I'll say, it have already been covered in this quarter and there is still more to be told. And so God's church is going on. Israel saw everything that happened in the wilderness. They saw the manifestation of God's love. They saw when God got furious. They saw when he was angry. They know what he did. But Israel still maintained a stubbornness in their heart. And it is happening right today in God's church. We still maintain stubbornness in our lives. And yet we come inside and we sit in the pews and we sing, glory, hallelujah, praise him, hallelujah, glory, hallelujah to the Lord. But inside our hearts and when we leave, we are a completely different person. And as Israel keep on going, the Lord allowing them to go in captivity, and yet he don't leave them alone in captivity. He go there and he raise his prophets among them while they are in captivity, warning them, talking to them. Jeremiah spoke to them on his knees crying.
Jeremiah was crying, weeping tears to speak to God's people in captivity. Yet they would let their heart be so stubborn, they will not listen. The Lord is pleading with us in church this morning, and yet we are still not listening. Spoke to Ezekiel. When, if you really want to understand how God is pleading with his people, with his prophets, read through the book of Ezekiel. Every time the Lord addressed Ezekiel to talk to his people, he will say, son of man, speak to my people. Tell them so and so, and tell them so and so. Son of man, speak to my people. One of the most fearing chapter, I shouldn't say fearing, but one of the chapters that I wish we would give it such a deep thought and a deep study and to understand who God is speaking to, what he's talking about, is read the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. Homework, the 9th chapter of Ezekiel. And what you don't understand, the Lord have already made provision for understanding. He gave us the lesser light to help us understand the greater light. You study it with the spirit of prophecy. And my church, my brothers and my sisters, when you have done this, you will understand the God that is speaking to you and the God that is speaking to me. And you will understand the plan of salvation. You will know that the same God that loves you is the same God that is going to judge you. When the mother and father have done his best for his children, for their children, and they refuse to listen, what do? They leave them alone. Let them pay their circumstances. That's what you want to get. Pay for it. And if you want to understand the story that I'm telling you, follow me up this evening and let us go to the prison. That is the condition. God's church. But God is love, and in his mercy, he have never destroyed us yet. Yet. Because he is long-suffering. Israel, I mean the world before the flood had 120, what? Probation. Do you know, church, how much probation that we have? You know, we are living in a time of probation. You know, the message for this church, when it begins, where it begins, where it comes from. You know, the persecution of God's people. You know, the dark ages. You know, as an Adventist, you should know that. You know it. We know the history. So we are all living under probation. Probationary time, we call it. That's where we are living under. Under probationary time. And when our probation is up, just as God had no mercy during the time of the flood, he still rained upon them and drowned every one of them. When the time comes for God to deal with this world, he will deal with it. But in all his dealings, he's going to save his church. Because it's his church. But his people must be willing to follow his precepts. His people must be willing to follow him all the way. Just as we sing the song, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bid me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come. Come just as you are, church. Because his arms is outstretched waiting for you. And the Bible says, now you notice that there was 400 years
when God allowed his people to go under slavery for 400 years, they was on the tough situation. During the Old Testament and the New Testament, there was another period of 400 years. And during the time of this 400 years, Israel, if there was another thing to be done, they would have done it just to rebel against God. I am an American citizen through naturalization. You all know I'm from the islands. You hear my accent on me, you know I'm not American. But if there was another thing for me to do to be an American citizen, besides just being naturalized, I would have done it. Because I wanted to be in America. Simple. I changed my citizenship to accept the fact that I want to be an American. But if I should mess up, being an American don't make it any easier for me. I have to stay under the rules and regulations of America to make me a good American citizen. And when you have taken your naturalization form for heaven, and when the stamp of acceptance have stamped upon you by Jesus Christ, he wants you to stay in tune with him. And in the mercies of God, church, in the mercies of God, that 400 years that Israel just turned their backs away from God, a beautiful story come right up in tune in Luke chapter 1. Matthew, Mark, John, all of them gave us that beautiful story and what the story is. And in the fullness of time, God sent forth his son to do what? The prophets, they speak and plead and cry. And so when the fullness of time came, because of God's mercy, he did not end it there. He sent his son in person to start back his church. He started in the garden with two. And when he started his mission on earth, he started it with 12. And all the 3.5 years that Jesus Christ ministered on this earth, all this time, you know what was his hardest problem? You know what was Jesus Christ's real problem? The Jews, the church leaders, the authorities, the scribes and Pharisees. His church! If you don't want me to talk up here again next time, I will not. But it was his church that gave him the hardest time on this earth. That no wonder he had to come in person. Oh, how I wish I could speak until tomorrow morning and tell you the stories upon stories. You know it all. I don't need to do that. His church. No wonder after the death of Christ and the disciples run away and he's telling them, take it easy. I know you all are scared. You all maybe have not understood. But I want you to go to the upper room. Go over there. And I want you all to come back in unity. Go there. Kneel down and pray. And let the Holy Spirit come upon you. He sent them to the upper room. And he sent them there to do our church. To unite together. That is what the Lord sent them to do in the upper house. To come together. To unite as one man. Thank you, sweetie. But church, if you want to know what confusion is, stick around God's people. It's a shame, but it's true. This one think, oh, I should be the one to do this.
And this is my territory. Don't come and touch it. This is my territory. Don't come and touch it. Leave it alone. That's me. That's mine. I am the one to do this. And I am the one to do that. Yes, there is leadership. Listen to me carefully, church. There is leadership. We need to follow leadership. But we don't have to fight among each other to do whatever it is. You see where I'm standing at this morning? The pastor should have been there. You see where I'm going, church? He is the one that should be there. But God did not allow it like this. I am standing here. And whoever it is, wherever they are, the Lord have appointed them to be there. So we have leadership. But when it comes to the plan of salvation, when it comes to unite with God, it takes every one of us. It doesn't matter. It is from the janitor, we will say it, because people think that the janitor is the lowest position in the church, from the janitor to the pastor. No wonder Ellen White says, no wonder she says that it was 1 out of 20 she saw in vision that would be saving God's church. Very strong statement, and you don't want to believe it. But if you look at the condition around my brothers and my sisters, we are so ununited. Oh, how I wish we would come together. Oh, how I wish we would be one man's child. And if all of us would come as one man's child and hurry the work that is to be done, the Lord will come down in hurry. But you know what, church? In spite of our stubbornness, he still promised that he will cut the work that is to be done. He will cut it short into righteousness just to save the few unfaithful. And this is what I am banking on today. I'm not a body on the side, what they do, what they don't do. Oh, I used to be there. I used to complain. I used to murmur. I'll tell you what, I used to complain. But you know what? Oh, thank you, Jesus. You have let me understand. And you have given me the joys in my heart. And you have given me the wisdom enough. And you have given me the ability for me to understand, though I have no knowledge, but you have given me the ability for me to understand him and for me to set myself aside for his work and for his purpose. Gold and silver have I known, and that I am not envious for. But that which I have that the Lord have given me, I am willing to share. Even behind the iron bars, the Lord have opened 6 of them for me. This is the desire of your faithful servant here this morning. Come back to the church. Can you imagine only 120 men that are together? Oh my goodness. But the Lord still didn't stop there. He continued. He gave them the Holy Spirit. Peter preached the greatest evangelistic meeting that was ever heard. Today we hear Mark Finney, we hear everybody goes around and they baptize thousands and thousands. Yes, it is true. But under the circumstances of the disciples in these early days, 3,000 men adding to the church in one day, and there was all different kind of nations, all different kind of tongues, but they all heard the gospel in their own tongue. Church, don't miss that now. They all heard the gospel in their own tongue. And they understood. And you know what they said? Who are those men? Are they not Galilee? And do you know why they said, are they not from Galilee? They were fishermen. And do you know what they consider fishermen as? The most dumb people on earth. The most ignorant people on earth were those fishermen. Thank God today. I do not have a PhD. But what I have inside this little box here, thank you, Jesus, for it. And I am willing to share it with whosoever. Amen. He says, are they not those Galileans? Church, education is highly appreciated in this world today. Don't misunderstand me. I wish I had it all. But in spite of where you are, in spite of your level, think of the grace of God and think of what He has done for you to allow you to be able to preach the gospel and to allow you to tell another man and another woman about His love. Do you know when I stood up? I'm wrapping up. Don't worry. We are not going to starve to death. I stood up over a mass murderer, and he has movies on his life. He gave me the name of the movies that I could go to Blockbuster and rent them and watch them. And this man was involved with Watergate with Nixon, and he was a driver of the getaway cars. And this man was killing on order. When the order was given to him to kill, yes, he did. And this man is sitting in Cross City Penitentiary, and the gospel was preached there. Out of morning, I step in that prison and I preach a sermon on the love of Jesus and His forgiveness. And that man stood up. He said, "I want the forgiveness of Christ." The man stood up on his feet. Request for baptism. I worked with him. This man was sitting there in this tank. I wish I had the pictures, because I have pictures of the last baptism I had in the prison. But this man sit down there in this tank. And I ask him, "Do you want to say anything before I baptize you? Do you want to give glory to God? What do you want to say before you baptize?" He says, "Yes, Pastor Wilson." They call me pastor in the prison. He says, "Yes, Pastor Wilson." And this man began to talk. He took 10 minutes. Calling names of individuals that he have hurt. The family that he killed their husband. The family that he killed their wife. The family that he wasn't fair to. He used to be stealing people's car. I don't have the time to tell you all the story. The life that this man was living, all he had deserved was to put him to death. That is why I love Peter. The Lord allowed Peter to baptize all different types of people. And those that he baptized, I want to believe that there were murderers in them too. There were thieves and robbers. And when I stood over this man, and I'm going to pronounce, "I baptize you in the name of the Father," and I couldn't take it, and I just collapsed with this man. And I embraced the man. I said, "Lord," I said, "Brother, the Lord did not embrace the thief on the cross, because you know the circumstances where they were. But I am embracing you this morning in the name of the Lord. Ask God for strength." And I come back up and I says, "I baptize you in the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, in the name of the Holy Spirit, burying you in baptism in the watery grave. As I bury your sins with you, my brother, and as you come up anew alive with Jesus Christ to serve Him from now on till He come to take you home." Murderer. And it was one that did not have a PhD. You don't need a P for you to tell anybody about "For God so loved the world." Church, Jesus Christ is very serious of His church. And He have given you and I an assignment. The assignment is very serious. And the assignment got to go all over. God have blessed you with one among you that is willing to go behind the place that all of us cannot go. I am so happy to be able to step inside that prison. And I want you to keep praying for that ministry. It's very serious. Last week I asked you to pray for me because I thought I would be going to be kicked out of the prison. But the Lord prevailed. And I'm still going back in there. The Lord prevailed. I give him the glory. I give him the thanks. I give him everything. I'm still going in. Continue praying for it. And I'm praying for every individual. That whatever ministry the Lord placed in your hand that had to do winning a soul to him, don't you ever dare fall short of that. Because he's relying on you, Cindy. He's relying on you, Rose. He's relying on you, Wanda. He's relying on you, my brother friend over there. Robin, he's relying on you. He's relying on you too. And you, organist, for you to play the music, beautiful music up there for us. God is relying on all of us. One day, my friend, one day, God is going to come. And we all that is waiting for him will shout hallelujah. The Lord that we have long waited for, here he come. And we all will go. We all will go and live with him. Ceaseless ages of eternity. 1,000 years of vacation in heaven. And the rest will be spent here on earth. After he cleansed this earth and purified, behold, I make all things new. And when Eden will bloom again on earth, I want you and I to be there. I want you and I to be there. Promise, Brother Wilson? Praise God from whom all blessings flow.